Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin. Welcome to another rainy day in LA. It's amazing. I love it. Love the rain. So I am here to help you. I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams, or macros, or anything, and start losing weight in a healthy way. Lose the obsession and the preoccupation with thinking about food all the time. I am here to help you do that by outsmarting emotional eating. It is not about what you are eating. It is about what is eating at you. And think about it. How amazing would it be to wake up and not think, did I gain weight from yesterday or not? And not think, okay, I'm going to be good today. I'm going to be really, really good. And plan out everything you're going to eat in the day. Wouldn't it be nice instead if you could just wake up and think about your day and not your diet? So that is the goal. That is what we're after. If you'd like to join me here today, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you. So for those of you in the United States, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We have lots of listeners here in Europe and Canada, even parts of Africa, New Zealand, Australia. I've heard from people all over the world who listen to the show, which makes me so happy. I hope you guys are doing well as well. And I don't want to practice geographic discrimination when it comes to wishing everyone well. And speaking of discrimination, a little bit later in the show, I'm going to talk about discrimination because of size. Someone wrote me and asked a question that is pertains to this, and I'm going to get to it in a little bit. But last time I did the show, 2 weeks ago, there was a question on my Facebook page about free food. In fact, if you have any questions for me, you can also write them to me on my page in Facebook. I'm multitasking and going to my page. Apparently, I can't do that and talk at the same time. But if you go to Nina Savelle Rocklin or Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, you can message me and ask me any question. So somebody asked me, let's call her Kay. She wrote, any thoughts on what I might examine when I'm eating free food when I'm not hungry? I'm wondering if I'm filling myself up. I'm not feeling angry, sad, or anything specific. I'm actually in a good mood. The fact the food is free, I think I need it. She added then that she came to realize an anniversary at this exact time of year. She said last year she lost her husband's disability pay, and then she and her husband lived off donations from friends and from work. From her job, not his. She's been so scared of this happening again this time of year. So she said she thinks that explains why she eats anything for free, because she wasn't sure when she would eat again. She's interested in my thoughts because she says she's eaten before only because it was free at the office mainly. So what I wrote her back, and which I will share with you, is I said, you are definitely on to something. And this is what's called an anniversary reaction. It's very powerful. It's when something from the past happens, you forget about it intellectually. You don't actually remember, oh, this is, or often you don't remember. Sometimes you do, but usually you don't. You don't remember, oh, this is a year since that terrible thing happened, or this is a year since, you know, or 20 years or 30 years or however long since that whatever happened. You just think, suddenly, seemingly from out of the blue, you get stressed out. You might eat more. You might do something, you know, that you don't want to do. And an anniversary reaction is when we explore that you consciously don't know that something happened in the past that is activating some pain, some fear, some anxiety. But your unconscious knows. Your unconscious knows the time and knows the date. And so if suddenly out of the blue you find yourself turning to food for no reason in the present, then think about what happened around this time, around this date, around this time of year in the past, and you may be surprised. So what I told Kay is not only is this about the past, it's about the present, because she's scared of this happening now. So getting something for free, which can represent nurturing. Food represents love, nurturing, relationship. Food is not just food. It has so much symbolic value. So if you're getting something for free, if you're getting nurturing for free, if you're getting love for free, that's hard to resist. If in your mind, you know, your unconscious mind, food equals love, nurturing, acceptance, all kinds of good things. And if you didn't get enough of that in the past, it's hard to pass up in the present. And also, free food is receiving. Someone is giving it to you. You are receiving it. And for those people who give more than they receive, Kay, is this you? Do you give more than you receive? That's another reason why you can be drawn to free food. You might not let someone help you, but you will take their food if they give it for free. That's socially acceptable. It doesn't activate any feelings of shame. So this is sort of I'm reading essentially the interchange between she and I, and she said, wow, I would not have thought it wasn't the present. Never thought about the giving, receiving aspects of it. Makes a lot of sense. So, you know, here's a thought for you, Kay, and anyone else for whom this can relate, who relates to this, for whom this resonates. What does it mean to have something for free? What does it mean to be given something? It's very powerful. So dig a little deep and think about what does it mean to you when someone gives you something, whether it's free food or anything else. Be fascinating to dig a little bit deeper in that and figure out something about yourself. So if you're someone who gives a lot but you don't allow yourself to receive, sometimes the only thing that you can let yourself have is food. If you take care of others but not yourself, if you empty yourself out, giving your time, your energy, your thoughts, your love, if you give of yourself all the time, you're likely to be emptied out. You're likely to be, you know, just like sucked dry. Or you've done it to yourself, but it's like you've given everything and there's nothing left and you're left with this void. And that's when you could be vulnerable to using food to symbolically fill up. And when it's free, guess what? It's like a double reward. You're getting something and you're taking it. You're being given something and you're taking it in. Both the symbolism of the gift and the actual food. So Kay, what are your thoughts? And if any of you can relate to her question, what are your thoughts? Share now. Call me on the show or leave a message on Facebook. Let me look at my messages. Nobody is asking anything. Okay. Well, if you want to ask something about this or anything else, feel free. Again, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. So on the last show, I also covered what not to say to a dieter. So if you have someone in your life who's constantly making comments about your food choices or your weight or both, this is a guide. Tell them not to do this. Don't be the food police. Don't decide what you or anyone else should or should not be eating. Do not be the food police. The food police, very bad. Don't restrict other people's food choices or amounts. That's part of being the food police. Don't make comments about food. Don't say, do you really need that? Or do you think you should have that? Or is that really the healthiest choice? Or you don't need seconds. Oh, I heard from so many people after Thanksgiving the absolutely rude things that their relatives felt perfectly entitled to say to them. And these are grown people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And you know, their relatives, their parents or siblings are like, do you really think you need that? Like, ugh, so annoying. Don't play nutritionist or offer food-related advice unless you are, in fact, a dietitian. A nutritionist, by the way, anyone can be a nutritionist. You could be a nutritionist. I could be a nutritionist. Anyone off the street can call themselves a nutritionist. But a dietitian is someone who's actually gone to school to give nutritional advice and had to take board exams. And they have to have at minimum a bachelor's degree, but I think most of them have master's degrees and they've taken license boards. So, you know, don't offer food advice unless you are in fact a dietitian. Don't comment on other people's weight or appearance. Okay, so I covered a lot about what not to say. I talked about more in depth on the last show. So if you didn't hear it, you can go back and check it out on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get podcasts, because for those of you who might not know, this show is live, but it is also I'm getting a question. It is also made into a podcast. Here's a question from Nicole. I'm just wondering why I have such a different experience with food when it's the same issue that bothers me always. Let's see. I can't, for some reason, I cannot read the rest of that. I'm going to, let's see. Can't read it. I'm sorry. I cannot read that. Let me see. There's another place where I can look. There we go. I'm just wondering why I have such a different experience with food when it's the same issue that bothers me always. Yet sometimes I'm able to exercise and make healthy choices, and then out of nowhere, I just give up and start binging. Nothing has changed. Why? Okay, so Nicole, I'm going to challenge the idea that it is out of nowhere. It might be out of awareness. It might be unconscious, but it is out of somewhere. And here are some possible reasons why people sabotage themselves or out of nowhere decide to binge or make unhealthy choices. Sometimes there is a fear that when things are going well, and if things are going well and you're eating healthy, maybe you're losing weight, you're feeling good. Sometimes feeling good is actually a trigger. Feeling good scares some people. This is the thing that most people find absolutely inexplicable and doesn't make sense to them, which is like a fear of happiness. But check it out, because it actually makes sense. If you think about the way that we have expressions that are like, it was too good to last, right? Oh, it was too good to last. Or, you know, the higher you climb, the farther you'll fall. Things like that. Or, you know, things happen, you know, every time something good happens, something bad's going to happen. So we have this notion that ties random events, which are good things that are happening in our lives and bad things that are happening in our lives, and somehow we create a pattern. We, as humans, evolved to create patterns because originally it helped us survive. If you see certain kinds of paw prints in the ground and you know, oh, that goes with that big animal that wants to eat me, that's a pattern. That saves your life. That's good. But unfortunately, in modern society, it's become a pattern of, oh, this good thing can't last. So if you step into paradise thinking that someone is going to cast you out, if you sit on the rug of happiness, if you stand on the rug of sit on the rug of happiness, I just had a picture of, like, I don't know, someone on a magical carpet. Aladdin just came into my mind. All right, maybe Gandhi, that's a better one. If you stand on the rug of happiness and some part of you is afraid that someone else is just going to yank it out from underneath you, then it's better for you to be the agent of change rather than have it come out of the blue. So if you're afraid that this happiness can't last, and again, I stress it is unconscious, out of awareness, but not out of operation. If a part of you is like, ooh, this is too good, things are getting a little bit too good, then how do you sabotage yourself? By binging, making things bad, but only it's coming from you rather than you being scared that it's going to come from out of the blue. So hopefully that makes sense. That is one reason why some people out of nowhere just suddenly mess up. The other reason is mess up, meaning, you know, from their perspective, mess up. Start binging, start doing the behavior you've been working so hard not to do. The other reason is, you know, less psychological, as what I just said. It's still psychological. It's less psychoanalytical. And it is about deprivation. The experience of deprivation will eventually make you want something more. So, you know, if you are Someone's writing me something else. If you are, if you are not letting yourself have yummy foods, if you're not letting yourself have things you like, then you are more likely at a certain point to go, oh my God, I can't take it anymore. I have had enough of this, you know, cauliflower pizza with vegan cheese and, you know, steamed carrots and chicken or, you know, whatever it is that you think that eating healthy is. And eventually it's like, ah, I can't take it anymore. I got to have whatever. The anticipation of deprivation is what makes you be like, oh, I'm going on a diet Monday, so I am going to eat everything in sight over the weekend because I won't be able to have it anymore. So that's the anticipation of deprivation. But Nicole, what you're talking about is out of the blue, somehow you start binging again. That might be related to not having enough food you like, or not having enough dessert once in a while, chocolate once in a while. And then eventually the deprivation gets so much that it, you know, it becomes all or nothing. And then if you have an all or nothing viewpoint, it's not, oh, I had a chocolate bar or part of a chocolate bar or some ice cream, or I had, you know, a cheeseburger, whatever it is that you think you shouldn't be having. It becomes, I had it, I blew it, now I might as well keep going, and then the binge happens. So those are two reasons. And by the way, this is a different Nicole than the Nicole who usually calls in. I don't know if that resonates with you, but, you know, let me know if it does. And, you know, keep the conversation going. I'd like to hear more about that. If that doesn't resonate, give me some more information. Because keep in mind, if you are turning to food, you are turning away from something else. Maybe out of the blue, I relate to the deprivation part. Okay. Great. She relates to the deprivation part. So, and maybe some of you other guys, you can also relate to that. If you are turning to food, it is for a reason. It is always for a reason. And that reason is often out of awareness. You don't know why. You just know that you're doing it. And that's why I'm here to help you figure out the why. Shine a light in the darkness. Find out what's hidden in your mind, the hidden reasons you're turning to food. Because they're often, you don't know. But I can help you know. And then when you know what you're fighting, you know what you're dealing with, you can deal with it. So for Nicole, I would say, look, if deprivation leads to binging, then you're in that diet binge cycle. That is the first chapter of my book, The Binge Cure. I talk about why it's so important to ditch dieting for many reasons, both physiological and psychological, because dieting inevitably leads to binging. It is a binge, diet, binge cycle that just goes over and over and over. And if you get rid of the idea that you can't have this or that, and you can have something else that you think you shouldn't have, you can have it, then you can decide whether you want it or not. That's why, as I have told you guys so many times, when I was taking my daughter trick-or-treating a couple of years ago, she's now 12 and she's just beyond trick-or-treating. So I have no trick-or-treat stories from this year. But a couple of years ago, and she's too cool for school. She's too cool. 12 years old apparently is when you no longer dress up. And you maybe go and get candy, but you're kind of above it. But a couple of years ago when she was not above it and when she was all into the candy thing and the trick-or-treat thing and the dressing up thing, you know, she had this giant, like, king-sized pillowcase full of candy. And she said to me and my husband, she's like, I'm hungry. And my husband said, well, honey, you got a whole bag of candy. Why don't you have some of that? She said, no, I don't want candy. I want real food. Such a proud moment for me. I was so happy. Why was she able to do that? Well, her friend, by the way, who was not allowed to eat candy and was one of those who was like, you know, her parents were like, well, when you come home for trick-or-treating, we are going to confiscate your candy and we are going to give you 2 pieces a day until, you know, the rest of time, until next Halloween probably. She was scarfing candy like there was no tomorrow. So that was an example of when you can have it, you can decide whether or not you want it. and then eat intuitively. And when you can't have it, like her friend, you're going to eat as much of it as you can. So Nicole, I suggest that you really give yourself permission to have it, to not think of good food, bad food, clean food, dirty food. No one talks about dirty food. They talk about clean food. But really, what's the opposite? And to just, you know, if you like chocolate, have some chocolate. Believe me, there's going to come a day where you're going to be like, yeah, I could have it or leave it. I don't want it today. It may seem impossible right now, but that is possible when you take the charge out of it, when you take the deprivation. Okay, so I covered a lot about what not to say last week, and I kind of recapped this week. I also want to give you some words to talk about to help other people talk to you. Because often people will say, well, I'm just doing this because I'm worried about your health. I'm just worried about your health. And what do you say to that? I mean, what do you say to that? I'm going to tell you what to say to that. So keep in mind this acronym, SET, stands for Situation Emotion Translation. So the situation is what happened or what was said. Emotions are just feelings, mad, sad, glad, afraid, worried, anxious, something like that. And then T stands for translation. And that is the most important part, where you explore the meaning of what just happened, your translation of it, your interpretation of the situation. So example, I think, let's just take the, you know, someone says to you, oh, do you really think you should eat that? Do you really think you should eat that? Do you really need seconds? You really like that pie, don't you? These are all things that people say all the time. It's so humiliating. So you can say, if you say something like, I don't appreciate you making comments, they say, well, I'm just worried about your health. Here's what you can say. Situation, when you make comments about what I'm eating and then tell me you're just worried about my health, that's the situation, I feel, what's the feeling? Angry, hurt, upset, helpless, whatever it is, whatever the feeling is, because it means, now here's the meaty part, but that would be ironic, so I didn't say that. The translation, it means you don't trust me to take care of myself. It means that you are infantilizing me. You're treating me like a baby. I'm an adult. I get to decide what I want to eat or not. It doesn't mean that you care. You're telling me you care because it's healthy, but to me, it does not translate that. It translates as criticism. It means you're criticizing me. So please stop. Another example, a friend of mine had been struggling with her weight, and she did not want to be intimate with her husband because she was so embarrassed about her weight. She did not want to be seen naked. She didn't feel sexy. She just didn't want to be intimate. And by the way, her husband was totally fine. He was completely attracted to her. He wanted to be intimate. He didn't care that she'd gained 20 pounds or whatever it was. She just couldn't let go. So finally, after several months, like 7 months or something like that, he said, so are we ever going to have sex or what? Like not in a mean tone, but in a, what's happening? Now, this is probably another what not to say. So if he had used the SET, Situation Emotion Translation method that I am teaching you, he could have said something like, when you say that you're embarrassed about your weight and you don't want to be with me, you don't want to have sex, I feel, that's the situation, I feel, this is the emotion, rejected. Because it means, and this is a translation, it means you don't trust me, you don't trust my love for you. So again, the situation is when you said that you had gained weight and you didn't want to have sex, the emotion is I felt rejected, sad, and upset. The translation is because it meant you don't trust me or my love for you. So this way of communicating helps you identify the real issue, which is the translation. And in this case, it was lack of trust in the situation of I'm worried about your health. It was also lack of trust in a different way. Like, you know what? If you're a grown-up person, you can make decisions about what you want to eat or not. And the situation was about control and lack of trust. And then you can begin to talk about it in a meaningful way. Another effective way to communicate, and this is what you teach people how to talk to you, or if you're listening to this and you want to know how to talk to a friend that you're worried about their health or their weight, and you don't want to make these mistakes, you don't want to do the what not to say. Another effective way is to communicate by asking open-ended questions. Those are questions that cannot be answered with a yes or a no, and they delve into people's thoughts, feelings, and experiences. So a classic open-ended question is the one therapists ask a lot. How do you feel? How does that make you feel? A closed question would be, are you upset? Are you happy? Are you angry? Right? You can answer that with a yes or a no. But an open question is, what's going on? How are you feeling? Tell me more. So here are some open-ended questions to ask for different kinds of relationships. And by the way, this is also a way that I want you to think about relating to yourself, because often we criticize ourselves so easily and then we eat to escape the critic. We're mean and we end up eating to escape the inner mean girl or mean guy. And the more that you can respond to yourself, the less likely you're going to be to react by eating. So here are some open-ended questions that you can ask yourself. Like, you know, what do I want more of if you find yourself binging? What do I want more of? Because that's symbolic. I'm having more food. What's eating at me? What do I want more of? Well, what would make me happier? And again, if you're asking someone else, you'd say, what would make you happier? You know, what are your hopes and fears about closeness? That would be something that a good conversation to have with my friend and her husband. Or if you're the person who doesn't want to be intimate, you can say to yourself, you know, what are my hopes and fears about intimacy? What am I afraid of? Well, you could ask yourself, what aspects of my life are satisfying or unsatisfying? If you're looking for that satisfying food, well, what is it that's unsatisfying in your life? What are you feeling right now? What am I feeling right now? What's going on with me? What am I feeling? And by the way, you got to do this with a nice tone, because so often people say, oh, got a call. Hi, Nicole. Good to hear from you.
Hi, how are you?
Can you
hear me?
I can hear you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple questions for you today.
Okay.
So the first one is, I have this thing where, like, when I eat, sometimes I don't want to talk. Like, I just want to focus on what I'm eating. And I feel like specifically, not everyone around me, but like my mom, I guess maybe she like makes me anxious when I talk to her. So I just like want to focus on my food and not like feel emotional in a way while I'm talking to her. And she thinks that's weird, or like, she's like, you're abnormal, or whatever the hell she says to me. And I just don't know. I don't think that's abnormal.
Well,
is that something with me?
Okay. So as I understand it, you're saying that you're at dinner with your mom. She asks you something. You want to avoid.
Oh no, we're not at dinner. Like, I'm in the kitchen eating, and she'll like come in and want to talk to me.
Okay.
And I'm like, hey mom, I'm eating. Can we talk later?
Okay, so you don't want her to interrupt your relationship that you're having with food at that moment.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so tell me more about what's happening when you're eating and you're by yourself and you don't want any intrusion.
I just want to focus. I don't want to end up overeating because I'm not paying attention to what I'm eating. I want to enjoy what I'm eating. I want to just like focus on it and not be like distracted, so I end up eating more. Because, you know, a lot of times you're like eating and you're talking to someone, and then before you know it, you've like eaten so much and like you don't even know what you've eaten because you're just like talking or arguing with someone.
Well, I think that what's happening with you, well, a lot of people do that, definitely.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, you're talking about two different things. One is you're saying that you want to eat without distraction, and you don't want to get to get pulled into a conversation, possibly an argument, and end up having some mindless eating going on.
Exactly.
Okay. So as if there's this split, you are either eating and focusing on food, or you're having a conversation, and that is to protect yourself from overeating during the conversation.
Yes.
Okay. So I would say if you were able to be with the feelings you have in this conversation with your mom or whoever, then you would not be using food at the same time to distract or numb or whatever is going on.
Like if you're having that resonates, that makes sense, because I feel like, okay, I'm having this difficult conversation, don't want to have this conversation. The food is a good distraction. At least it tastes good. And I can kind of like focus on the food and not really be in this conversation. Whereas if someone wants to have a conversation with me, I can just stop eating for a second, have a conversation with them, and then like go back to what I was doing type of thing.
Yeah, the key here is the I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to have this conversation is code for I don't want to feel, I don't want to feel what I'm going to feel if I have this conversation. And so, distracting yourself.
That resonates. Yeah.
So what is it you don't want to feel?
I don't know. Like, I guess there's, what is it that I don't want to feel? I guess I'm dating. I started dating somebody and like it's going well so far and like I'm really enjoying it. And my parents are not like hunky dory about him completely for some reason. And so my mom keeps bringing up the same conversation, like literally every day wants to have the same conversation with me. I was like, I'm sick of having this conversation.
What is that conversation? Oh, let's use the SCT approach on you. So what's the conversation?
Oh, what's the conversation?
Yeah, what does she want to tell you?
The conversation is, wait, I'm on live radio.
But no one knows who you are.
Okay.
You can use different, you can disguise it.
Okay.
I mean, if you don't want to.
Okay, I'll try.
You could sum it up. You could be like.
So I guess. Yeah, I'll try.
Okay.
So I guess just kind of it so financially, to my parents, it's really important to have financial backing and it's important for that, having debt, like student loans and debt and like not having a father to kind of like back him in case anything happens. And they just want to make sure that I'm going to be like secure and like taken care of, and
I'm sorry,
have crazy spending habits. Yeah,
Nicole, is it 1955?
Yeah,
is it 1955? And I don't know it. I don't know. I've been watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and this sounds suspiciously like things that they said in the 50s. Oh my goodness! How about you make your own money?
I'm listening.
No. I know that also you've talked about sort of cultural things and whatever, but you know what? You are an American in the 21st century. They are not Americans, from what I understand, not originally from America.
I mean, they're from Iran, but my parents moved here. Sorry, my alarm is going off. One second.
Okay.
They moved here. My mom was 15. They went to high school here.
But,
so it's like,
but
I do
raised,
come from like a traditional Persian background, And like, I understand their concerns. I don't understand why we need to have the same conversation every day. I understand you're worried and anxious or whatever. And you want the best for me. And then it's coming from love. But why do we have to have the same conversation every day?
Then you need a way to set a boundary. So let's use the situation emotion translation with you. So the situation.
Okay.
Mom, when you ask me the same thing every day when you bring up the same thing every day about, the guy and your concerns about his future financial safety or whatever it is. His ability to take care of me. Oh, I cringe as I say that. Okay. I understand,
well,
Mom.
The other thing is, I have to tell you, the other thing I told her, I was like, Mom, in your day and age, not that she's that much, I mean, she's in her 50s, but I'm like, in your day and age, people would get married because also they would really have to pay attention to the people financially because they needed someone to pay for their life and their food and their roof and their clothes and everything. And like, I work and I have a job and
yes.
like I can provide for myself financially, but I want to be with someone who can provide for me emotionally.
Yeah.
And
oh, what a beautiful
be my partner,
answer.
My lover and companion.
Oh my God. What a beautiful answer. Okay.
Okay.
Nicole,
back to the
that. No, I have to say, wait a minute. I mean, wow, wow, okay. wow. This, I gotta give you this. That was fantastic. That was the perfect answer. It's like, you know, the end of Pretty Woman. I just saw Pretty Woman again. And at the end, so he comes up and he's the knight in shining armor. And I'm sorry, if any of you have not seen Pretty Woman, avert your eyes, avert your gaze, close your ears. And he says, well, what happens now? And, you know, now the prince, you know, the prince saves the girl. And what happens now? And she says she saves him right back. And that was 1991. So, you know, so, okay. So the situation, Mom, when you repeatedly bring up this topic, I feel.
Yeah.
What are your, just the feelings?
I feel what? Oh, to
just
say
the
my
feelings.
Feelings.
Yeah. About the fact that she's feel, constantly bringing it up.
I feel frustrated. And upset.
I feel frustrated and upset because it means
that you don't listen to me when I told you the first time that we're getting to know each other, we're making a lot of assumptions, and you can ask him all your questions when you see him because he's an open book. So listen to me when I talk.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, then that's perfect. And then you say, I am no longer going to engage in this conversation. My ears can no longer hear the question. So just know that if you ask me that, I will say the following, Mom. I will say asked and answered. This is what I do.
Asked and answered.
Asked and
answered. Asked and answered. Okay.
This is what I learned to do with my kids when they were little, especially my now 12-year-old. Mom, can I have this? No. Can I have this? Come on. Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? No. Asked and answered. And she said, okay.
Asked and answered. Okay,
asked.
Mom, I will no longer engage in this conversation with you.
Yeah.
Asked and answered. Yeah.
So when, so
there's
then,
nothing more to say. Yeah.
And
I love
just,
that.
You just say, asked and answered. You asked, I answered.
Yeah.
We're not having this conversation again.
That's it.
And she's going to pull for it. And you're going to say, mm-mm.
Asked and answered.
Asked and answered. Yeah.
Dude, I love you, Dr. Nina.
Dude, thank you.
Okay. What's it called? I have something else. Can I ask something? Well, I
Absolutely.
Feel like that was so good. I don't even want to ask anything
no,
else.
No, ask me anything. You're here.
Well, okay. Okay, well, I think it's something similar. It's about chocolate cake. So we had chocolate cake. Well, it's kind of, actually, you know what? It's the same question because I was going to say, you know, there was this chocolate cake that my boyfriend, the guy I'm seeing, ordered to bring to my parents' house because my mom had invited him over for Shabbat dinner, and then we had to cancel, and he forgot to cancel the cake, so he had this big chocolate cake and nothing to do with it. So every night, my boyfriend and I would like have a little sliver of it with wine and have a little piece of chocolate cake. And he just went out of town for like a week. So he's like, what the hell am I going to do with this cake? Please take it home to your family. And I was like, no, like, I don't want it. Thank you. And he's like, no, come on. It's going to go bad. It's a waste. Your sister loves dessert. Your dad likes sweets. Like have them try a little bit of it. So I ended up taking it home with me and, you know, I think I was just feeling stuff. I think it's the same thing. I was feeling stuff and I didn't want to have certain conversations and I didn't want to deal with certain emotions. So it was easier to just eat the cake and enjoy the cake and distract myself from those thoughts and feelings by just eating this delicious, amazing cake.
That yes, that further, I agree with everything you just said. That was a brilliant piece of self-diagnosis and analysis.
Yeah.
And I would add this one other element to it, which is that the cake represents your boyfriend. He's away. He's out of town. There's the cake. It represents his thoughtfulness. You shared it together. And so there's that piece of it. That I'm full of puns today, unintentionally. That is there's that piece of it, too. So, sorry. I'll stop punishing you. So keep in mind that, again, right, I'm so happy to hear you say this because you're recognizing it is not about the cake. It is about what the cake means to you and does for you.
Yeah. It's all the feelings I'm feeling, and then it's a way to escape and not deal with the feelings or deal with what's eating at me. So then I eat something to distract me from those feelings, whereas I should just deal with those emotions, and then I won't go for the stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Ugh, I need to remember to call in every Wednesday because I really forget how helpful this is and like what a long way I've come, and just by calling in Wednesday mornings, and I feel like I really lose out when I don't call. So I need to remember to call.
Well, I was just thinking, it's funny that you said that. I was just thinking about when you first started to call, and you've called just about every Wednesday, you know, for a long time, how you couldn't see it as anything other than food, whether it was peanut butter or cake or whatever. You couldn't see it as anything. And that's so common. Yeah. So many people listening can relate to that. No, it's just about the food. What are you talking about? So I think that, you know, listening to you, you know, every week, just the consistency that you have used this show and me in order to understand yourself better and to have you be able to recognize what's going on your own, to have that kind of insight and ability to look inward and see what's going on within you that's making you do this, whatever it is with food.
Yeah.
Such a significant change, and I'm really amazing.
I'm really proud of myself, and it's nice to feel my own growth. I feel like I still have a long way to go, but I feel like I've come a long way, and it feels good. Like I feel proud. It feels nice to feel my own growth and to see where I am now. And I want to continue growing. I think that's really important too.
Yes. And hopefully we all continue growing. I mean, we're never, when the day that any of us go like, okay, I'm good, that is not a good day.
Yeah.
So we want to continue to evolve and grow and change. And that's the beauty of life and understand ourselves. And then you feel, then when you know yourself better, you know why you do what you do, and then you can change it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can, what is it? Be curious, not critical.
Curious, not critical.
Yeah.
Instead of, okay. Oh, by the way, I just have to say, many people take this. I say, well, be curious, not critical. And so people say to me, like, I was critical. I asked myself, why did I eat that? Why did I eat that? I'm like, that is not curious. That is critical. But
it is? Okay.
Why did I eat that? Like, see, here's the difference between curious and critical. It's the same words. Why did I eat that? Oh my God. Why did I eat that? Can't believe I ate that. Why did I eat that? Versus, why did I eat that? Why did I eat that? What's going on with me?
Well, one is kind of putting yourself down, and the other one is like actually like being curious. Like, what's going on with me? Like, okay, Nicole, like having love and compassion for myself. Like, it's okay. Like, well, what's happening with you? Why do you think you did that? Whereas other ones, like beating yourself down, like I'm a piece of shit. Like my mom says, fuck you, sat on dirt on my head, whatever. That's the difference, I think, is the tone and how you speak to yourself.
And when you speak to yourself in a mean, critical voice, you don't feel better and you don't find answers, because that's really a rhetorical question. It's really a mean question. It's a statement formed as a question, as opposed to a true curiosity and interest in yourself. So, curious, not critical.
And I need to remember, asked and answered, and also, mom, if you ask me that question again, I am not going to engage. Asked and answered. I love you, but asked and answered.
Perfect. Okay. You can do it. You got this.
Okay.
Let me know how it goes. Okay, you're welcome. Bye,
okay,
Nicole.
Okay, stay dry.
I'll try. Away. Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks again.
Sorry, I just cut you off, Nicole. Thank you. That was, thank you for your wishes on this rainy day. I'll tell you what's scary. What's scary is driving in the rain in LA. Why is it that when there's moisture on the road, nobody knows how to drive? Why? I'm curious about that. Why is that? Okay. So, I just have to say, wow. For those of you who have listened to the show for a long time, or those of you who have listened to Nicole, for her to say what she said today is like, it's actually kind of moving, and I almost feel a little tearful. I feel a little tearful to see that kind of amazing like shift from just feeling bad about herself for what she ate and you know, worrying about what her mom thought, to being able to really step into her own life and her own reality, and to know herself and to stand up for herself so effortlessly. And I am just so happy right now. Okay. So I was talking about asking yourself open-ended questions. What am I feeling right now? What's worrying me right now? What can I do to help myself right now? And notice the tone. I'm not going like, what am I feeling right now? I'm saying, what am I feeling right now? Like, tone is everything. Tone is everything. So notice that all these questions that you can ask other people, or other people can ask you, or you can ask yourself, are all about needs, wants, wishes, hopes, fears. Not about food. Not about what you're doing with food. Not about what someone else is doing with food. It's also important to give yourself permission to really recognize whatever it is that you're feeling, even if you feel guilty about feeling it. For example, I remember a woman told me that she felt really helpless watching her husband eat his way into bad health. And this is true. He actually had eaten his way into bad health. He had gained a bunch of weight, gotten diabetes, heart problems, all kinds of things that were happening as a result of what was going on with food. And she said she was so mad at him for not taking care of himself. She was so furious with him. And then she felt guilty for being furious. And she's like, I should be more understanding. I know it's not his fault. Something's going on. Something's eating at him, whatever. And she's like, oh, I'm so mad at him, but I feel so guilty for feeling mad at him. And so she was just so tortured by this. And the reality is, it's both. She was mad at him. She was mad that he put himself in this state of bad health, because now she's worried about losing him. And you know, that's okay. And she had compassion for the fact that he was dealing with binge eating disorder, which, by the way, guys, is a treatable condition, It is the most prevalent eating disorder there is. More people have binge eating disorder than people who have anorexia and bulimia combined. Way more people have binge eating disorder. And here's the thing. Most people with binge eating disorder do not know they have binge eating disorder. They just think they lack willpower, or they have no control, or there's something wrong with them. So I'm here to tell you, if that's you, guess what? There's nothing wrong with you. You're doing something for a reason. You have a treatable condition, a treatable disorder. I hate that word disorder, but what else do we have? If someone comes up with another word besides disorder, I would love to hear it. So feelings are reactions to situations. They are not evidence of wrongdoing. If someone you love has an unhealthy, unhappy relationship to food, you can be worried, helpless, frustrated, angry, and bewildered. If you yourself have a relationship to food that you don't understand, that you hate, that you wake up every day saying, I'm going to do it differently, guess what? Allow yourself to have compassion for yourself, to be curious. Why am I doing this? I want to learn more about myself. Don't be just frustrated and angry and dismissive of yourself. Be curious. So instead of judging and criminalizing your emotions or whatever you're doing with food, give yourself the right to feel what you feel. Get annoyed, frustrated, or enraged, but allow yourself to be upset, for example, with your behavior. Oh, I'm upset that I ate the whole bag of chips or the box of Oreos or the carton of cookies or the pizza, whatever it is. Be mad that you ate it. You could say, oh, I wish I hadn't eaten it. And then, but don't be mad at yourself. That's where you say, but let me be curious. What was that all about? Why did I do that? So those are some thoughts for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. And by the way, I've had such demand and keeps selling out, so I keep releasing more copies of my book. Here it is, The Binge Cure, 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating, in which I really take you through every step in helping you identify what is going on, what is eating at you, and then give you actionable things to do differently, as well as teach you how to stop the sabotage, be in the present, make peace with food, and more. So I just released a lot more copies for my free giveaway. All you have to do to get your free copy of my book is go to drnina.info, that is drnina.info, and grab your copy. All you do is pay for shipping. Again, you could go on Amazon, do a search on Amazon, look at all my reviews, my 5-star reviews. I'm so proud of it. I am proud of this book, and I am proud that it's helping so many people. You can get it for $20 on Amazon, or you can get it for free at drnina.info. Grab yours now, and thank you so much for joining me. I am here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. You can listen live or listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get your podcasts. Have a fabulous week. I'll see you next week. Bye.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.